Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg on a Saturday morning. Thank you guys for letting us be a part of yours. Good morning, Georgia. And a good morning to everybody in Lawrenceville.
Yo.
Are you there? Are you there, Mr.
Yeah,
Grinchell?
Yeah. Very much.
I can't hear you, sir.
You can't hear me?
You're cutting in and out. Now you're there.
All right.
Okay. You got to pop, man. I ain't hear you.
All right.
Now we're good. Yeah.
Okay.
Back and forth there. Coming up, we're going to talk to D-Led. Got Noel's World later on in the hour. I want to ask you about somebody that decided to shut it down last week.
Okay. Yeah.
Where do you put in the pantheon of NBA stars Russell Westbrook?
Include him. And a lot of people, you know, always make a big deal of the championship and having the ring. And then some people say, what about numbers? And the numbers you definitely can't argue about. But for a period of time, he was just a spectacular player. You know, had trouble getting to that team that would get across the finish line, right? But, you know, he was a spectacular guy that was there and very versatile, could do it all, as having the number of triple-doubles that he's been able to pile up. So,
did you have a problem with him going for that record? Because that's what he did when he went there. He wanted that record. It's one thing to have it woven into what you do for your team. And then
basically
all of a sudden,
happen organically.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, yeah, well, they said nobody can break this. Watch me. I'm going to do it. And he went on and did it.
Yeah.
As my problem with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some people do have a problem with that. And, you know, if they didn't want him to do it, the other teams could have stopped him.
That's true.
You know what I mean? They pick up a defense, say, you see what this guy's trying to do. You know, let's go out in. And they didn't. Or maybe they couldn't. And maybe he wanted it just that bad. So, you know, that's also to his credit. If he goes out and sees a record or something that he can accomplish and achieve in this day and age of the National Basketball Association, you know, that's a big deal. But I think a lot of people going back, you know, maybe we'll look back on him as time goes by and really admire his whole body of work. But still, you know, people say, well, he didn't win one.
Well, he's definitely on the all intents team. He is definitely, if you take centers completely out of the mix, if a fight broke out, NBA players, he's one of the first people I'm choosing.
Okay.
If you take the centers out, right?
Yep.
I'm grabbing that dude first, or one of the top two. But yeah, I can't get past what could have been in Oklahoma City.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what? That's the difference between Oklahoma City then and Oklahoma City now. You know what I mean? It was perceived as being this small market, and you couldn't get there from there. You couldn't win it from there. And now that's been totally disproven. If that team had gotten across the finish line, maybe those guys wouldn't have left. That's a big maybe. But you see what's happening there now, and you see what's about to happen again in San Antonio. You don't have to be in New York, Boston, or L.A. anymore. And I think that's what happens. If he was coming along now, I'd like to think he would fit right in with that group that's at OKC, and he'd go right to the top with them. But it's just a different time.
Yeah. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, top of the second hour.
I got to say something about this. You know,
what?
I talked to you this week.
As we get ready to talk. Oh, wait, I lost you, Sam.
You know, yep, you got me all right?
There you go. Now I got you. Don't quit moving around.
I talked to you this week.
Yes, you did.
And the first thing out of your mouth, boy, you see what happened to Grayson? And I'm like, here's the man that don't keep up with high school football and whatnot.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing that jumped.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did.
Before you can say hello, boy, you see what happened to Grayson?
You weren't expecting that, were you?
Yeah. Not from you.
That's your influence. There you go. It's like when your baby comes up, you know, at like 5 or 6 years old, and they stand in front of Mama, Daddy. And then they start singing like Luther Vandross or something, right? You go, where'd that come from? Well, you took me to singing lesson. Anyway, this is a byproduct of your schooling me.
Man, let me tell you this. We open up the high school football season a little soon. That's why John Bednarowski's publication didn't make it before the Corky Kell Dave Hunter Kickoff Classic. And for people who don't know why it started sooner, it is because the building was preoccupied for last night for the Falcons and tonight for Atlanta United. And next weekend, their concert. So, I mean, you wanted to have that building be a part of this kickoff classic. And so it had to happen Wednesday and Thursday on August 12th. and 13th. Thankfully, we were inside in climate control and not outside in the sweltering heat. Mm. But the high school football season started with a 5 o'clock game, and your winners there were South Gwinnett, the impressive performance beating Lanier 29-3. And that night, North Gwinnett came in and got up to a 37-0 lead on Grayson before Grayson. And people were stunned. The looks on some faces being down there was simply amazing. And, you know, the thing of it is North Gwinnett is always good. They're always a good team, but they always kind of fly below the radar. And you look up at midseason and they're 6-0, 7-0, you know, while everybody's looking at Grayson and Buford and Carrollton and those. And oh, yeah, North Gwinnett. No, no, this year it won't be, oh, yeah, North Gwinnett. They're on Front Street. Yep. You know what I mean? And so,
they got my attention.
And the thing of it is, people are going to want to see how this team does. And shout out to Coach Eric Godfrey, does a tremendous job out there. Had his team very well prepared for Grace. And you know what? It could still be those two teams playing for a state championship back in that building at the end of the season. It could be. So, I mean, we'll watch and see what happens with that. Night two, Brookwood looked like Brookwood of old. Beating Cambridge 52-7, and then Walton taking on Roswell. Walton got off to a good lead, but Roswell comes on to win that one by a score of 32-20. So those are your first four games of the Corky Kale Dave Hunter Kickoff Classic. It will resume on Wednesday at Kale at 4:30. Pebblebrook will take on Clark Central. And that evening game, we heard John Betnarowski talk earlier about Kale against McEachin. Two teams in Cobb County that rarely face each other in football will be playing. That was going to be a big treat. The next day, they move over to Blessed Trinity. That will be this coming Thursday. Centennial versus Dunwoody, 4:30 game. Blessed Trinity and Decatur will be the 7:30 game. Then on Friday, they move over to Georgia State, where there will be three games starting at 2 in the afternoon. Hebron Christian against Carver Atlanta. Coffee will be coming up from South Central Georgia. They'll be taking on Parkview at 5 o'clock. And the final game will have Houston County, the Baz, taking on West Forsyth. And that's slated for an 8 o'clock start. Yours truly and Coach Chris Parker going to be on the play-by-play call for that one and on Sports Radio 92.9.
Hang on a second. I got to ask you something, because we spent a whole lot of time last week talking about the folks on the call on Wednesday and Thursday. Did we get any feedback, you know, as far as the Dukes and Bell broadcast? Must have been tremendous. No, I'm not being funny. I'm asking, you know. Those guys, they wouldn't do it if they couldn't do it.
Well,
you know,
sound
great.
I think they had a great time. I think they had a lot of fun. I think people listening to them had a great deal of fun.
Okay. That's what I'm checking. We spent so much time talking about it and preparing our audience. But y'all got to check this out. I wanted to hear, you know, the positive feedback that we got.
Yep. And so we get ready to start the regular season. We had some scrimmages last night for high school football around the area. And these games, you know, the scrimmages work different ways. Some the coaches let them play like a game. Some the coach will come out there, okay, we're going to put the ball down on the 20. We're going to run 10 plays, then you run 10 plays. We're going to run 10 plays and you run. Then our second string going to, you know, it could be an organized scrimmage like that, or it could be like a game, you know, no kickoffs. Things like that, you know, so it can work different ways. This week there will be games, and we know how these are going to work. They're going to work like a regular game as the regular season kicks off. We got some games in addition to the Corky Kale Dave Hunter Kickoff Classic games that are taking place make sure we get them right. We got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Most of the games coming up next Friday. We got a lot of great games coming up next week, and then on Saturday as well. So we get ready to catch, you know, the high school football games in your area. You get out and support your teams as they play the games. Let me see a few that I can run down that are coming up. Great season openers. Well, one next Saturday for sure a lot of people will be talking about is Gainesville and Buford. And that's, you know, the Lake Lanier separates the two, right? Mm-hmm. But they don't play every year. But, you know, everybody knows everybody and you know, impressive things. So that game will be televised on ESPN. It's going to be a nationally televised game. Creekside is home next Saturday. They're hosting Clay Chalkville from Alabama. It's one of the really good football programs from the state of Alabama coming to Georgia to play. Douglas County is playing Newton also next Saturday. Those are some good games. Westlake is playing Lovejoy on Saturday next week. We got a triple header out in DeKalb next Saturday. We got Lithonia, ML King. We got Tucker, Columbia, and Southwest DeKalb and Stevenson. They're all going to be at Hallford Stadium out of Memorial Drive. That's coming up next Saturday. So we got a number of games. Boy, down in South Georgia, you got Colquitt County against Thomas County Central to start the season. Thomas County Central, I think, opened a new palatial indoor practice facility. You may ask, why does a school in South Georgia need an indoor practice facility? It ain't gonna snow or nothing down there, man. I guess they're keeping the bugs out. They're keeping the gnats out. I don't know why. I don't know why.
But yeah, they got air conditioning, man.
This
ain't the old days. You got air conditioning. You got technology. Put them inside.
Indoor practice facility in South Georgia. We're going to see if Grayson can bounce back. They got to take on next Friday, take on Sandy Creek. They're defending state champion. That's going to be a good game. North Cobb and Milton should be a great game next week. So, and Carrollton and Rome. So those are some games to think of. I did find out something, Greg. Dr. Tim Scott from the Georgia High School Association was my guest on the CBS Atlanta. He was kind enough to come over. He was at Corky Kell Kickoff Classic. And we know what happened at the end of last year. With Gainesville and the players that could play and couldn't play, and people went and got lawyers and judges and all kind of stuff. They got there the day before Thanksgiving, and, you know, these players got to play or can't play, and we're not going to play the game at all. And so that was all done, you know, up in Hall County, which is where Gainesville High School is. The High School Association has incorporated. They have a foundation, first of all, that does a give back to member schools, you know, and scholarships for students at those schools. But also through doing that, they've incorporated. And going forward, if somebody wants to take legal action like that against the High School Association, you have to do it in Upson County. And that is where the High School Association's offices are headquartered. So you make a little move to kind of, well, you make a little move to counter some things, you know, to try to alleviate some things, you know, and people can always look for ways to try to circumvent stuff. But that's something that was put into place during this off season or during this off time from the school year. And that is there, something he got a chance to share with me, though. So that's something to watch for going into the season. School year, because it's not just for football, that's for any sport. And while I was talking to him, he got a phone call from some people downstate. They were trying to get in a softball game. They had tried the day before, and there was lightning and said, we got to come back tomorrow. So that was the next day. They come back second, and they had lightning again. And they said, so they just have to make that game up later on in the schedule, get a different day or something. But I mean, he's the executive director of the high school, and he gets phone calls about from everywhere, just about everything. I don't know if I want that gig. As much as I enjoy high school athletics. And I like it, and I applaud the people who participate in it, the people who volunteer for it. My goodness, I don't know if I want to be in a thing where people gonna call me like that.
You want an emeritus position. You want to have a title, but you want it to be emeritus. Like, I just show up at like Nick Saban at Alabama now. He just shows up and
shows up and shakes hands and
shakes hands. Got the red jacket.
You know what I mean? That's a nice gig, but it's tough. One other college note, an HBCU note before we go. Found out that there will be more college football in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Don't know if it'll be next season or the following season, but Stillman College, which is an HBCU in Tuscaloosa, crosstown from University of Alabama, they had football for a time. They dropped it in 2015. They are going to bring football back. So that's two HBCUs in Alabama that'll be bringing football back, because Talladega is seeking to bring football back for the first time since World War II. Maybe they get a donation from their most esteemed alumnus. Well, they got two esteemed alumnus. You know, one is the coach out of Colorado. The other one is the retired president from Hampton. He's
trying to get my show canceled.
Hey, man, he's a graduate of Talladega College.
I don't care. Don't put a drink on the coaster for me. He tried to get my show canceled.
Man, hey.
So that.
What did he do?
But he did.
Everybody at Hampton's cool with him.
And everybody else is there is cool. And all the other HBCUs had something to say about that dude. You know, that he was, you know, he is, from what I've heard, and by the way, you're the one who put me next to some of them people who had something to say. They talked about him like other coaches used to talk about Nick Saban.
Okay. Hey, you know.
That's fair, right?
That's pretty fair.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying.
Nick Saban did a lot of winning, and Doc Harvey got everything
straight. So he did, too.
A lot of stuff. The bank account is straight up at him.
that's what I hear. Right. So that's why you got to stay there 150 years, because he got to do that. Hey, you know whose birthday it would have been today?
What was that?
Julia Child.
Bon appetit. I just saw something with her. I just saw a replay of one of her shows here too long ago. Yeah, I just stumbled up on something, and there she was there fixing stuff. That's amazing.
Anyway, yeah, Julia Child would have been her birthday today. Got some other good ones here, too. But all right, listen, are you ready to talk to D-Led?
You can prepare your bird like this.
Now, see, you're going to stop that because D-Led thinks you're doing an impression of him.
Well, no, D-Led don't sound like Julia Child.
No, all he right, don't man, sound like ahead. Julia Child, but you just did one of him. Hey, he's coming up next, and we got to dial it back here, right? Because we need to have respect from minute one when we get him on because of he now is another award winner, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that next. D-Led joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg on a Saturday morning. You hear that music. I think he is the last of the guests that we have that have walk-on music. Him and Adam Alexander
are the last Karen. Two. We don't count Karen Pistana?
Oh, no. Karen gets moved around because she all used right. to do that Desiree thing. And then
Desiree thing.
We don't do that every time with her anymore.
No, but we do this for D-Led. And this with good reason. And with good reason.
Because I'll let you do the rest.
Got so much going on. Friend of the show and someone we haven't had on since he's got this new incarnation of being the Bowtie Sports guy. But let's talk about what he just got just last night. The Sam Lacy Pioneer Award, National Association of Black Journalists at the National Convention in town. Shout out to everyone who's here, been in town all city long. And D-Led, you're getting the last night. Congratulations to you, man.
Congrats.
First of all. Well earned. What does it mean to you to receive this award?
Yeah, thank you so much, Sam. It means a great deal having met Mr. Lacy as a student on the campus of Howard University. He was an alumni, and knowing the history of what he did in his career over 8 decades and helping Jackie Robinson break the color line, it was a great honor and very humbling experience to receive the Sam Lacy Pioneer Award last night from the organization that I helped found. So it was pretty cool.
Yep. Go ahead. Well, thought about it. You had a speech for us last night too, right? Did you have a speech? What did you drive home?
Yeah, I brought home that, you know, it's been a grind. I did the Nipsey hustle deal. Was grinding all my life. Talked about in 1987 when we helped to found the National Association of Black Journalists Sports Task Force, where they wouldn't do any seminars. And now here in Atlanta at this convention, we had 22 seminars and a party last night at the Battery that raised, you know, of funds for the Larry Whiteside Scholarship Fund. And I was the keeper of Larry Whiteside's blacklist, which kept a track of all of the black sports journalists in the nation, and it's grown from the list of 32 to, you know, over hundreds now. So although people are under attack and getting released from jobs and buyouts and stuff like that, we still have a pretty strong group and a group that's committed to tell our stories in the sports and political spheres and in the news spheres, even though we're under attack.
D. Orlando Ledbetter, who is now known as the Bowtie Sports Guy, joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I guess, Sam, I should start off by thanking him, first of all.
Yeah.
Because I have won. I have an award from 2004. I have an NA BJ award. And I'm just wondering what it's like when you are in the room. You know, we saw the footage we see from time to time pops up on the internet of Jordan showing up at the 75th, you know, with all the other NBA players, the top 75 players. When that convention happens and you come into that room, what is that like for you that evening? Not just last night, but over the last few years.
Yeah, last night was a magical Billy Aaron gave the greatest speech ever, accepting the award for her husband, and started quoting Shakespeare on us and talking about the times. Edwin Moses gave a great speech talking about the things that he went through in the 60s and 70s and how we got to get buckle up and get ready to fight again and redo some of the things they did. So that was just absolutely magical. Ryan Thomas, our good friend, also picked up the award. Angel McCautry and Renee Montgomery were there also. It was absolutely amazing in that regard. And over the years, you know, Spike Lee was there with Ron Thomas to talk about the Morehouse Sports Program, mm-hmm. and you know, and the funding that they're going to need moving forward. So that was just amazing. But over the years, it's been Rachel Robinson in the room talking about Jackie, you know, and all kinds of dignitaries, Jordan. Richard Roundtree pulled up in D.C. one year. you know, wherever you have Phoenix, you have we have downtown Freddie Brown out in Seattle one year. You know, wherever we go, we get the best sports people from that community and try to bring them out to the Sports Pioneer Awards. Coach Dale came when we were down in New Orleans, and Arthur Trish, our good friend, got the same award I got down there. Yeah. Okay. So it's amazing. Every year I try to make it when, you know, with football, it's hard to go to the NABJ, but I try to make it to the Whiteside party at least, and definitely try to make it to the Pioneer Awards whenever they have it. It's a great show. Ray Richardson, one of the first NBA writers, along with, you know, he was the MC, and Kelsey Nicole out of D.C. was the MC and host with him. So it's a great program whenever you can make it. And we're on to Houston next year.
Yeah, so spending time with D. Orlando Ledbetter, who now, if you follow him, he is social at Bowtie Sports Guy. At Bowtie Sports Guy. Mm-hmm. Talking about things that are happening with NABJ in town. Been here since they've been here all week, but really the conference actually started on Wednesday and goes through tomorrow. And he's been honored. And you mentioned Arthur Trish. I saw him last night because we did have to go over to the Falcons game last night and watch the game that you were not there. You were sorely missed. Yeah. I'm looking over to the seat that I always see you sitting in. I said, he's absent, but with good reason. Last night, thoughts a little bit about the team, what you've seen so far. You've been up at Flowery Branch. You're observing, and how people can get your information that you're putting out every day.
Yeah, I was a little stunned because they looked pretty good at practice up there. They're hitting. That's what I like. They're actually doing football things at practice, not just playing tag. So I thought that would translate a little bit better. But, you know, they were behind the eight ball a little bit with, you know, starting camp without the top two quarterbacks. Michael will get back here. I'm expecting after August 25th. That's the nine-month marker. But we'll see how it looks. The line was the issue. We knew that. They don't have the starting right tackle out there. And you don't, you know, they didn't play Jake a lot. So no surprise there. But they've been working hard. Looks like the staff got a good program in place. And, you know, they're going to move on from this, go to Indianapolis next week, and we'll be up there. But it's the website is bowtiesports.com. You can sign up for our free newsletter there, and we'll keep you abreast of what happened the week prior and look ahead to the coming games throughout the season. That's free. And for the stories and the analysis and commentary, that I won't be tweeting out all my views. It won't be free anymore. But we'd like for the folks to subscribe, and we have a training camp special right now, $27.99 to the start of the regular season. You get the whole year's coverage, and then I'll go back up to $81 once the season starts. So.
We love you, man.
Bowtiesports.com. Yeah. We need to get on that training camp special right now. Bowtiesports.com.
All right. Let me ask him a question.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to take him down my rabbit hole of who they should get, but we got the news this past week. It's going to be 8 games for Pierce. And that edge rushing position is what it is. In your mind, do we hope for a diamond in the rough from some of the rookies and some of the folks coming up, or do you go out and grab somebody from another team? I have a name that I've been doing, but I don't want to sway your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I want to look inside first, but I'm looking outside at the same time. And I know that's what Ian Cunningham, new GM, is doing. Inside on that roster, I don't see much, but I do see Aziz Ojulari from Marietta, who played at Georgia, who had some sacks as a rookie in New York, and I had a few last year. I'm thinking, you know, Cameron Thomas, maybe he's a rundown guy. Then you could get Aziz in there on rushing downs. And you got Harold Perkins internally. Yeah. I don't see anything else there. Braylon Trice was a good edge setter at Washington and a try-hard, work-hard guy. So that's what you got inside. And then, you know, Leonard Floyd's out there, and I would love to hear your guy, Greg.
I don't know. It won't happen, but you have a disgruntled all-star sitting in Las Vegas who could not be more upset at how he was treated in the offseason with that whole Baltimore situation, and you get Max Crosby, who's already half-baked anyway, and now you get him on your team with a chip on his shoulder. He don't want to be in Vegas. You have a need here in Atlanta. That's the guy I'm thinking of. At least have a conversation, if possible. Sam and I talked about, yeah, what would you give up for him? I don't know. But all I know is you got a guy over there who don't want to be where he's at, and you got a need over here, and you don't know how to fill it. Have a conversation. That's me.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. You know, that Baltimore price is pretty steep. And once they figured out they can get a lower price for somebody else, they did it. You got to call. You got to call. But you don't want to – what a new GM doesn't want to do is trade away his assets right away when he came in and he didn't have a first-round pick. So he wants to keep his assets. He thinks he has a team kind of halfway built around the quarterback. And he wants to keep those assets, and he's got a lot of money coming up under the salary cap. So he probably doesn't want to mortgage the future. But, you know, if it's reasonable or close to reasonable, and the fact that you do need, that's a need, a clear need,
yeah,
you need to call him. No question about it.
Three teams, get them together. Anyway, Sam, go ahead. That's my rabbit hole.
Sure. You know, that happened as well. What about the secondary, too? I mean, you've been impressed with what you've seen so far and some of the competition that's going to go on back there. Obviously, we're watching Avion Terrell to see if he works his way probably into the nickel spot. But he's going to have some competition for that, right?
Yes, Darnay Holmes is a vet. So you could start with him if Avion's not ready, which he went down last week with an injury. Jesse Bates, you know, the third is concerning. He's been out with the lower back, but he's getting close to returning. He'll make things a lot better back there than himself. And Mike Hughes is the, you know, he's got to hold on to that right cornerback spot. I think he had a tough outing yesterday too. So those are the concerns in the secondary. But Xavier Watts, A.J. Terrell, they're set. Jesse Bates will be fine, and then those other two spots will need to step it up a little bit because they're going to be in coverage a little bit longer this year without Jalen Walker and James Pierce for eight games.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like. D-Led, hey, look, man, we appreciate you joining us. Once again, tell people where they can find you, what you got coming up. You got something special for them, right?
Yeah, no doubt. We're going to Indianapolis, and we'll have live coverage from up there at the joint practices on BowtieSports.com. We'll be at all the games this year and providing our analysis and commentary that we did for years at the other place. But we're just going to move it over here. Didn't retire. We're going to keep covering the Falcons and giving the fans the coverage that they enjoyed over the last two decades.
There you go.
There we go, man.
Man.
And once again, congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. We're going to be in touch with you. Don't worry about it. You're not done with us yet. D. Orlando Ledbetter, joined with Sam and Greg. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, D-Led. Coming up next, it is Noel's World. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg on a Saturday morning, and you guys have let us be a part of yours. Can't thank you enough. We're here today, and we'll be here again tomorrow. Listen, I'm going to just get out of the way here because we went a little long with D-Led, which can happen, but this is Noelle's world, and I don't want to step on what she got coming up. So, but I love the song.
Good morning.
Not like some Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a star to come join our show here on Sam and Greg. Saturday and Sunday. Saturday's for a little while longer until, you know, college football takes over. And speaking of football, guys, you know, I just got a few things I want to run down from this week. We'll start there at football, if you guys don't mind.
Go right ahead.
All right. So I'm going to take a little bit of a victory lap here.
I love that.
Now, y'all know I pay attention to two NFL teams pretty closely. The one that we you know, talk about constantly on this air. You know, we are the official Atlanta Sport, the Atlanta Falcons radio network, and I am the official Atlanta Falcons fan. Okay. So we talk about them, focus on them a lot. I know what's going on here, but I also know what's going on up there in good old Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yeah, boy.
I knew that's where she was going.
Those purple people eaters. And if y'all remember, if y'all recall the past 2 years working with me, I've kind of, you know, been on a hill about this whole J.J. McCarthy thing and how this was going to turn out.
Right.
And, well, I don't know if you guys heard this week, but Kyler Murray has been named QB1 up there in Minnesota because J.J. McCarthy is just not the guy. And it's unfortunate, you know, being somebody that watches a lot of Michigan go blue. I wasn't really sold going into that draft, and then his own coach became an NFL head coach that could have picked a number of places that didn't have a quarterback to draft said quarterback, and he decided to go somewhere with a pretty definitive franchise quarterback. So I also felt like that was also like a statement, a calling card there, a red flag, a warning sign, if you will. And now we are here. We are here. You let Sam Darnold go and win a Super Bowl with Seattle. After taking you deep into the playoffs. And, yeah, decisions were made. So that's what's going on up there with the Purple People Eaters. And I bring that up because they're in a similar situation that I feel like the Falcons are in. So that leads me to my next headline. Let's hold off on those number one jerseys, guys. Let's give it a second before we run out there and get new, brand new Tua jerseys in the nice new uniforms that we got to see last night. Because I'm not quite sure how often you're going to be wearing that guy either. Yeah, weird situation to be in, right? Like, you didn't really get Tua in camp like you really wanted to. Something's going on with the back. Didn't really like a lot of the throws I saw last night. The ones that did, like, you know, get kind of far or were completed. Shout out to Kyle Pitts for that 11-yard catch and run. That was pretty much the highlight of Tua Tagovailoa's night. And then the guy you brought in, because you can't really see Michael Penix right now. What up, P? Cooper Rush was Cooper Rush. 5 tip passes. Like, how is that even a thing? So that was a little rough. Right tackle was a little rough last night. Tua got sacked a couple times. Cooper Rush got and ran off a couple times just because the right side wasn't very cemented. And then defensively was a little shocking for me because we forgot how to tackle. Never mind not having your DNs or whatever, and James Pierce Jr. was out there, and he looked like he forgot to tackle too. So we got some things to clean up there on defense. So, yeah, ticket goers, season ticket holders, let's wait a moment before we run out there and get number one jerseys. Yeah,
tap the brakes.
A little bit. What else we got here? Congratulations goes out, guys. As D-Led just told us in the last segment, he got an award. Shout out to D-Led yesterday at the National. Help me out, Sam. It's the National
Association
of Black Journalism. I couldn't remember what the A was. National Association of Black Journalists. Yeah. Go ahead.
You got two winners right here, right?
Yes.
I got two past winners
right here. Mm-hmm. And we had two WNBA recipients last night as well for the city, Angel McCautry and Renee Montgomery, who Greg keeps trying to make commissioner of the WNBA.
I do. So on her there.
So that happened. Congratulations to them. And congratulations to Ella Della Don and Candace Parker, who are going into the Hall of Fame tonight.
Congrats.
Yeah.
And we, Atlanta, have about 14 more minutes until you can go onto Nike.com and get your Alisha Gray Asia 2s. Yes, that is today. Today is the 15th, 10 o'clock. You will be able to click that purchase link. They will not be here, unfortunately, in time for tomorrow's night game, but we got a couple more home games to go before for you to go rock them out. And speaking of Alisha Gray, did you guys see what I saw this week during Alisha Gray night on Monday? I'll tell you what I saw.
Yeah.
On the court, Well, as I was waiting for the game to start, you know, we're tweeting things, we're getting ready, getting the fans all ready, and, you know, tweeting out little things we're noticing or things that we're looking for in the game. And I look on the court side, and there was somebody sitting there, and I had to do a double take because I could have sworn it was Alisha Gray. I was like, what is she doing sitting there on the court side? But no, it has begun, guys. It has begun. The girl, the AAU girlies are out here in their two-strand twists and their blue headbands and their goggles. And she looked, she was head to toe Alisha Gray.
Oh, my goodness.
Head to toe Alisha Gray. Sleeve, leg band, all black A1s, the whole nine from head to toe. I had to do a double take. It is amazing. This is exactly why Nike had to jump on board and make sure that we got all the Alisha Gray stuff that we needed, because this was a superstar in the making, and it's finally starting to crack. It's finally starting to crack.
Here's my question.
Go for it.
Why 10 o'clock in the morning? Given it's East Coast and is it 6 a.m.? No, that would be 7 a.m. on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just, when you said 10 o'clock in a way that it was like,
that's just Nike's time.
Yeah, I was just saying. Well,
that's just Nike's release time. It's always 10 a.m.
Okay. Oh, it is? All right. I didn't know that.
It is always 10 a.m. on Nike.com. There are other sites that, some sites do 3 a.m. There was a time where Adidas was doing 3 a.m. for whatever reason. I was like, that is such a weird time.
Let's cut through the chase here. I want to ask you a question. Who's the top shoe company right now? Because I don't know. I could guess, and we'd name them. Who do you see as the leader of the pack right now?
I mean, Nike's still on top, but they're being headhunted. Like, there's so many people nipping on their heels, and that hasn't happened before to this degree. So that's why there's a big conversation in the shoe industry about what's happening next, or like Nike's decline of market share out there, because people are nipping at their heels. Kids are buying more Adidas right now. Kids are buying more New Balances right now. You're seeing Asics. You're seeing Saucony. You're seeing all kind of stuff right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Curious.
And Nike, you know, since Greg asked, the price point might be just a tad bit too high, coupled with the frequency of which we're releasing these things. We might need to read the room about what the pockets are looking like right now for your target demographic. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right.
You know, $215 every Friday is a little steep. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right, what else you got? What else going on? Your thoughts on this Falcons?
I gave pretty much my rundown. Okay. So now I'm waiting on whatever is going to come out of these joint practices with the Colts, because now that is looking extremely crucial. And whichever one of these starting quarterbacks are going to figure it out first. Is it Tua with the tweet back, or is it going to be Michael Penix with this four-week timeline?
Let me ask you what we did to D-Led and say, do you want them to go out and test free agency, or you want to just focus on what you got in the house?
Either focus on what's in the house or focus on maybe a diamond in the rough on the couch. Because until you figure out this quarterback situation, in my opinion, you don't have enough to jump off the roof to go get.
So you really want Von Miller, huh?
Well,
or at least give him a try.
Not necessarily I really want Von Miller, but I don't want you to handicap, lock yourself into. You're not one player away right now. Okay. I think that was clear last night. You are not one player away to jump off the roof and go get a Max Crosby. Let's try to build this thing in a way that makes sense right now. And I don't know if giving up a bunch of assets for Max Crosby, who also has to guarantee you that he's going to stay here and not just, you know, get here to as a stopgap at a Raider away from the Raiders. We don't need a layover. We need you to be here.
To be clear, my reason for bringing his name up is not that he is the one individual. He, in tandem with the guy who's coming back at week 8,
mm-hmm.
moving forward. That's and as far as edge rushers, if you can give me the name of somebody that you hope would be a diamond in the rough, or that you can grab in free agency to pair against Pierce when he comes back after week 8, and if you want to say Von Miller, okay, cool. But I'm saying that's my reason for thinking Max Crosby is worth a conversation. Not that he individually will turn around that defense, but paired with the guy who's coming back at week 8. Yeah, that was my reason for thinking that.
It's not a bad reason. But DN and quarterback are your two highest paid positions in the NFL. You got to figure out the quarterback.
So you got to throw another team in this conversation. We got to do multiple teams in whatever deal is going to happen here, which we've seen, you know, regularly.
That and, like I said, Max Crosby can't be a layover. Like, this is not a this is not a team that's a.
You wouldn't want him
to
be, would you? You know, you want. Listen, I got no problem with him reaching down and giving him what you need, what he needs. But again, I don't. have all that accounting information what they want to do.
I don't think you get a long term when you're hoping that Jalen Walker can return and be there. And that's somebody you already invested in. And so that's the other side of it to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that's a one player away move. And I think last night we saw that this is just not that yet.
Anyway, that was what I was saying about that. Anyway, anything else you got?
Oh, also, yeah, right tackle. If we're going to go spend some money or trade some assets, it might be at right tackle. Now, we're still looking. We're still letting people like Juwan Taylor and things get into football shape, as Greg said earlier. Maybe something will shake there, but that is a cause for concern for me.
Okay. All right, coming up, 10 o'clock hour. We have not talked a lot about this Braves team. This team that's sitting, if, you know, they like to say, Sam, if the playoffs started tomorrow, well, the Braves would be a 2 seed. Oh, wait, maybe after their loss last night, they'd be back to 3. I don't know. The Dodgers, I know that they would be playing right out. I think it was Milwaukee and Atlanta, 1 and 2. Maybe that was before last night's loss. But let's talk some more Braves coming back. Also going to talk more Falcons. We've got Joe Patrick, who was in the building last night. And I'm going to let you know about some money flying through the air. And you can believe what we got this week. Listen, I'm going to just tell you something. There's a lot of gym rats listening to this show, would you think, Sam?
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
A lot of brothers get up early and get to the gym.
Saturday morning, they've been to the gym or they're on their way. Most of them probably have already been.
All right.
Saturday morning, get that done out of the way.
Those of you who feel like you right out of central casting as far as looking all chiseled and yoked up, all that stuff, there's an actual way you can get paid this week on the casting call. And I'm not talking your regular background job. I'm talking 4 digits. So I will let you know about that coming up in the casting call. Sam and Greg, heading into the 10 o'clock hour. Thank you guys for letting us be a part of your Saturday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.